God knows how to deliver.
Amen.
Again and again. Thankful for that. You got your Bibles tonight? Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 56. Psalms 56. Good to be in God's house tonight.
Amen.
And it's always a privilege to be in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank Him for that. We're going to start in verse 1 and maybe make a few comments about these scriptures. There's something in here that I'd like to touch on. I didn't get a chance to really do a lot of studying, but that's okay. It doesn't matter how much I study. It matters when God just pours it out. So that's the only thing that matters. So we certainly desire your prayers. God will deliver. Thank you, Jacob. Appreciate that. He says, David writes this. He says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily opposeth me. Mine eyes would daily swallow, or mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are evil against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy book? And you can be seated tonight. I'd like to preach tonight, if it's the will of the Lord, about putting your tears into the bottle. And David here, what he's lamenting, the fact that he's got enemies all around him, or in this particular psalm, that there are enemies all around him. But he tells in this song, he goes on and says that he'll not fear. I'm not afraid of them, and I don't lean on them. He said, my fear is and my hope is in God.
Amen. Yes.
And we know that our strength comes from God. Brother James taught on that this morning in Sunday school a little bit. We touched on that, and I thank God if you're saved, you know where your help comes from. We should never get to a point in our life when we feel we allow our enemies to define how we serve God, but we should always be ready to lift the Lord up and know where our help comes from and our strength comes from. And David got down to a point here, and we're going to talk about these tears and into thy bottle, as he says, in the eighth verse, thou tellest my wanderings. In other words, what he was saying was, God, you know where I am all the time. I'm glad God knows where we are all the time. He knows when we're high on the mountain, Brother Harold. He knows when we're down in the valley. I'm glad to the eyes of God there are no hiding places for His children. But wherever we find ourselves, I'm glad that we can find God there. Brother Stephen Perry preached a wonderful message several weeks ago before we left on vacation about walking through the valley. And that lily of the valley, not lilies, he was a lily. He's in every valley that we'll ever walk in. There's only one that's there to help us. I'm glad he's on the mountaintop. We have Bible in the scriptures. We know there were men that got off in caves because they were sore and they were afraid and they were had fear about them. But God knew where they were. And listen, and God, when he found them, he reminded them that he was there to help them. He was there to strengthen them. Listen, we've got stories in the Bible where they cast men down. But even though they're cast down state, we can look at the prophet Jeremiah. We can look at Daniel. We can look at the three Hebrew children. We can look at Ezekiel. We can look at Isaiah. We could go all through the Bible. Wherever these men found themselves prophesying against the things of wickedness, there was always enemies standing up against them. Elisha and Elijah were the same way. But all of a sudden, when all the enemies seemed like they was overtaken and coming on top, hey, listen, we find that God stepped in. These men continued to pray. What were they doing? They were putting their tears in a bottle. God is bottling up our prayers. Hey, listen, everything we pray, nothing has been forgotten. I know, and I've said this before, oftentimes we'll pray for something today, but we'll forget about it tomorrow. Sometimes our prayers continue for a while, but we get weary in the things that we pray about sometimes. But I'm glad, even though, hey, listen, we
we pray something today and we might forget about it tomorrow. How that in the eyes of God, the prayers that have reached heaven, how they are bottled up and God has not forgotten them. He is reminded of the prayers of His children. I'm reminded in the book of Revelation in the 8th or 9th chapter, it might be later down in the book. Listen, but the Bible tells us that all of a sudden when the trumpet sounded and a seventh seal was opened, it said the angels come with a golden censer and presented the incense before the altar of God. It said He brought with Him the prayers of the saints that were mixed with the incense. Listen, the bottles were opened up and the incense went up into the nostrils of God and He remembered His children. I'm glad tonight that there is nothing that we'll go through that God does not see us, God does not care about us, and God is not hearing us in our time of need. David cried out to the Lord. Hey, listen, he didn't know when the help was going to come, but he knew that as long as he had breath in his body and his prayers reached heaven, that God was bottling up every one of them. Hey, listen, there's things I prayed years ago, and it took years and years, but then God answered them. Listen, I just thank God that the Holy Ghost reminded me of the prayers that were prayed so we could go back and thank God for never forgetting us and never leaving us, but always be willing. Listen, He was always there to hear and answer us. Don't ever let the enemy think that God don't hear you just because He don't answer your prayer. That you pray today and He don't answer it tomorrow. Hey, listen, but I'll say this, that God knows everything that we've ever prayed. Hey, listen, in the first, and I thought about some of the things that are bottled up. When that angel brought those prayers, listen, and he mixed them with that incense, and that smoke went up into the nostrils of God, and he began, listen, to receive all those things up into heaven. I thought about the prayers of repentance that mankind has prayed. And listen, you realize there is nothing sweeter than someone submitting themselves unto God and bringing themselves as an offering. Paul told him in one scripture, he said, I beseech you, brethren, to present yourselves a living sacrifice unto the Lord, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And thank God today when you pour your heart out to God and it reaches heaven. I'm glad that's a prayer that God don't take all day to answer. But I'm glad a prayer of repentance is not bottled up for long. Listen, but God hears it, He answers it, and He reminds us of who we are tonight. David had to be reminded oftentimes who he was. Listen, and even in the times of his trouble, in the times of his distress, and even in the time when he sinned with Bathsheba and he was found himself there and his child was down in sickness. Hey, listen, and he knew that his child was going to die for the sin that he had committed to God. And he was putting on sackcloth and ashes. And they were bringing things to him, trying to cheer up the king, trying to get the king to get something to eat, trying to get him to wash up. And David, he realized that he had wronged God. And he realized that he had sin in his heart and sin in his life. And he sat there and he awaited for God to answer that sin. And when his child was finally taken from him, and listen, the Lord removed him out of his life, David washed his face and he began to eat. And they come to him and they said, he must not know that his child is dead. And David said, I cannot see him here, but I can go to him where he is. Thank God today I'm serving the Lord. And listen, that though we might stumble along the way, and though we might fall, I'm glad that God will not utterly cast us down, but He remembers our prayers and He hears each and every one of us. Thank God today for what He's done for us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, today we have peace with God. And listen, I'm so glad tonight that He's bottling up those things we pray about. I've sat here and I listen to Brother James Bellamy talk about his lost loved ones. I've heard Sister Stella mention her loss. I heard Brother Jim Perry mention his loss, those that are lost, those that have made professions, those that are out of the will of God. We've all got loved ones. There's people on the books of this church that have not darkened the doors since I've been pastor here. And I'll say they didn't hardly darken the doors when Brother Clarence was pastor here. Hey, listen, but I'm glad that the prayers they may have prayed in times past, God has bottled them up. And I just hope that at some point in the not too distant future, God opens them up and lets them remember who they are. Yeah. Thank God. Amen. And I pray. pray that when he does, it'll break them down so much and they'll be reminded of all the joy and all the things that they missed out on in life. And listen, I hope and pray of the prayers that we have prayed for those individuals, they're being bottled up also. And listen, don't ever think that there's no hope as long as God is on the throne and as long as there is breath in our body and as long as we're here, there's always hope. I'm often reminded when someone is born again and we look around and we're all still here. And listen, we've said it before, there still must be a purpose for the church. Because when the last soul is saved, God's going to call us out of here. But I'm glad as long as we're still seeing souls saved and we can get up and raise our hands towards heaven and say, thank you, Lord. And we can continue to pray and they're still being bottled up. And listen, there's still hope for our lost people today. As long as God's pouring a message through his men, as long as the power of God's coming through the church, as long as the singers are still singing the joys of heaven, there's still hope for the soul of mankind. And I'm so thankful for that. There was hope for me when I was lost. There's hope for our people that were here this morning that are lost. And I look around and there are some, I assume, that are lost because I've never heard them make a profession. I know there's some that have been on the altar and they've never been satisfied. And so I can only determine and only come to the conclusion in my heart that they don't know God the way that they need to know God. But that don't mean we ought to give up hope. And that don't mean that we ought to stop praying for them. Hey, listen, because every prayer we prayed is just another tear. It's another one that God's going to bottle up. It's another one that's going he's going to open up. And when he opens them up and begins to answer them, hey, listen, I hope that our loved ones can feel the prayers of the people that have surrounded them, the people that testify for them. God forbid that our lost people go down and say, I never felt that anyone ever prayed for me. But I hope when they finally hit the altar, they'll raise up and say, now I can feel the prayers of those that have testified because God has poured them out. You might say, I don't know about that, Victor. I'll say this. At 17 years old at an altar, I knew when I got saved, there was a house full of individuals that have been praying for me. They may have never mentioned my name in church around me. I may have never heard it with an audible ear. But when I got born again, I knew there were folks that had been praying for me. Our loved ones ought to know that they are surrounded by individuals that love them. Our lost people ought to know and come to realize that nobody loves them like the children of God. For how can anyone love better than a family that is so concerned for the well-being of their eternal soul that they would take time and pour out their heart and shed tears for people who are lost? The world don't shed no tears for anybody. But the household of God and the people of faith, hey, listen, the children of God, we weep for our loved ones. We pray for our loved ones. We'll spend hours sometimes when the Spirit deals with our heart. Hey, listen, and we'll stay in the bed at the nighttime or we'll sit around and we'll weep bitterly for the souls of our lost people. No one cares about people like God does. Hey, listen, and I can say this, that because God loves them so much and cares about them so much, and that love is instilled inside of us. Hey, listen, and we, and that love that is instilled inside of us causes us to have a love for them. Where would we be if the church didn't love us? Where are our lost people going to be if we don't love them? How they were going to feel the love of God? How they ever going to come to know the love of God if they don't first feel it in the church? If they don't feel it in the household? Hey, listen, if they don't feel it in God's people. Oh, we can be kind and we ought to be kind. We can, hell, us ought to have a smile. Ought not to be bitter. We ought to keep praying. God's bottling up all these things. I'm just glad when in those services, you can think about it like this tonight. I hadn't thought about it like this. I'm glad when we pray and we pray and we pray and all of a sudden God just opens up a bottle every now and then and pours it all out in a service. Yes. and we can feel everything that the church has been burdened for and all the things that we had labored for and all that work that we've done. No wonder Paul wrote in Corinthians in the 15th chapter, he said, our labor for the Lord is not in vain. Hey, thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You realize tonight that our work in the Lord, our songs that we sing and the prayers that we pray and how we sweat and labor in the pulpit and how we serve God and how we just put everything out there and submit it unto Him. Nothing in that is in vain. If you allow your enemy to talk to you too much, he'll tell you that it's all for nothing. He'll tell you it's vanity and it's of no good and of no value. I find that the only thing that mentions in the Bible that is vanity is the work that we do in this life with our own hands and our own carnal minds. All the work of a man that he does is vanity and vexation of spirit. That's what Solomon said. He said, I've attained all these things as king. That's what Solomon wrote. He said, there was nothing held from me. Everything that Solomon, anything that that man wanted, he could get. And he said, all that I got was vanity and vexation of spirit. Listen, I've said that before and I've heard that preached my life. Solomon was the richest king ever to live. Richer than any Pharaoh, had more than any man. And he said, there was nothing in this world that satisfied the soul except God.
Amen.
Only God can bring peace to the soul. Only the things of God can bring us to the point to where we have peace in our heart. Nothing in the world can satisfy that. But the Spirit of God fills that void in our life. And so David finds himself here crying out in the 56th chapter in this psalm that he writes that his enemies are surrounding him. And he says, what time that I am afraid, I will trust in thee, O God. When I have fear, I'll look to thee. I'll trust you because you know my wanderings. You know where I am all the time. You know what I'm going through. You know my laying down. You know my rising up. You know when I'm asleep. You know when I'm awake. Hey, listen, and you've got angels surrounding me. There's proof of that in the Bible, and I don't know if you believe it or not, but I'm glad that God does surround me. And he says, put thou my tears into thy bottle. God is bottling up our prayers and bottling up our tears. That's what tears means. I believe that our tears, our prayers, our desires, our concerns, the things that we bring to God with a humble heart and we give to Him. We often say we come to the altar and have often referred it that way. We bring our gifts to the altar. We bring our loved ones to the altar. We carry our concerns to the altar. But too many times we pick them back up and we take them back. We try to leave them there, but sometimes we just have a hard time leaving them there. And we bring them to God, but before we realize it, we've taken them back and we're going home and we worry about them again and we fret over them and we lose sleep over them. We get concerned about them. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about these things, but when we leave it in the hands of God and He's bottled it up, we ought to realize that He's got it.
Amen.
There's nothing more reassuring than to know that when you cannot do something and you've handed it off to someone who is fully capable, that they've got it. Especially when they say, don't worry about this, I'll take care of it. There are things in our life that we cannot do. And if I could relay it like this, I would like to try to if I could get it out. But there are things that I cannot accomplish because I just don't have the talents or the skills. But I know that if I hand them off to the right person, they can take care of it. And so when I hand them off to the right person, that don't mean I have to go and micromanage that person and what they're doing. I handed it off. I trust that they'll take care of it. And they take care of it. And when they're all done, everything's just smooth and everything's right. Well, if we're willing to do that in instances in our life, how much better do you think we should approach the throne of God? How much more assurance do we need than to know that we can bring these things to God and feel the presence and the Spirit of God speak to us and say, I've got this. There's been times in our life with my children, and I've told this story before, but there's been times in my life with my children and different things in my life where we just leave it in the hands of God. There's been instances where the Spirit has just come by that quick, and no sooner than the prayer was prayed, And no sooner than it got out of my mouth that the Spirit would just overwhelm, surround me and say, everything's okay. Don't worry about this. Everything is okay. And there's been times when I've been on the altar and people have been praying on the altar time and time and time, and you worry about them being saved. And I remember in one occasion there was a revival over at Shady Grove, and there was a young man there. He'd been on the altar, he'd been on the altar, he'd been on the altar night after night. After about the third night, I believe at the revival, I was down praying, and all of a sudden I just couldn't pray anymore for the welfare of his soul. I just couldn't. And the next night came and he was on the altar, and I thought, Lord, I something's wrong with me. And it was like the Spirit was just saying, you don't need to pray that. Well, and you wonder why, and you think you're in the wrong place, but then the individual gets up and says, well, actually, I was saved last night, but I never let everybody know. I just wanted to be assured. And then I realized the reason we couldn't pray for the soul of that young man is because he wasn't lost anymore. Amen. What God was telling him was, I've got this.
Amen.
So how can you pray for God to do something when he's already done it? It was already done. And there's been times when I've taken those things to God and I've left them at the altar, and I've left them in the hands of God, and then I've continued to fret over them. This has happened to all of us. And we fret and we fret and we fret. And we say, God, when are you going to answer? You need to answer. God, you need to move. And we try to help God. And there's been times we're laying in the bed and God finally says, would you stop trying to help me? I've got this. There's been times I've had to roll over and say, I'm done. I got to quit. And just let God take care of it. And don't you know it's not very long that God begins to move. God was just bottling him up. He wasn't forgetting us. He's not forgotten us. He hears us. He knows. David said those things are. He said, are they not in thy book? God has written those things down. I'm glad that God has everything in control. Our prayers and tears are bottled. Our desires are written down. God's not forgotten. I say what God hears and what God writes. And you might say, well, how many books are there? I'm not going to get into all that tonight. But I say what God does and what God hears and what God writes, he'll never forget any of it. He's not like some kings in the days of old when the scribes would write down the things that happened in the day. I believe it was in the days of Esther and her uncle. He was there and he had done something for the benefit of the king, and the king just simply never even thought about it. But the scribes had written it down, and then it was some time later when he couldn't sleep and the scribes bought the books and they began to read to him the events, the things that had happened. And he remembered and he said, hey, did we ever do anything for that fella? And they said, no. And then God began to work. See, the king had forgotten what had happened, but God never forgets.
Amen.
Doesn't forget you and me. I'm glad he's bottling these things up. And God help us if we ever stop praying and stop weeping for our loved ones, for those that are sick, those that are lost, for our church, for our family, for our brothers and for our sisters. I don't know about you, but I don't want my tears and I don't want my prayers to stop. I mean, we ought not to be in a position where we think that that's good enough. I'm saved. I'm good enough. I'll stay home and I'll just stop. We ought to always be about the work of the Lord. I mean, the Bible tells us that, right? I mean, Jesus Christ told him. He said he called him from the first hour to the 11th hour. I mean, there was always work to be done. He said, pray for laborers to enter into the field. I mean, we didn't go in the field just to sit down and do nothing. I mean, God has saved us into something. David reminded him when he went down into the camp of Israel when they were fighting against the Philistines. He said, is there not a cause? And we've preached on that. There was a cause when David went down there. There was a reason he was there. There's a reason why we're here. There's a reason why Riverside exists. There's a reason why your membership is in this church. There's a reason why the church is still here today in 2019. There's a reason why God continues to come by. And it is not only for our benefit, but it is for the benefit of those around us, that souls can be saved. Let us not forget the reason why God has put us here. And really, that goes along with the message on Wednesday. Let's not get complacent. Because it'd be easy to fold our hands and say, well, the Lord's good. We got a good church. It's warm. And
warm in the wintertime, it's cool in the summertime, and the pews are padded, and the Lord's blessed us with many wonderful things. There's plenty of parking, there's plenty of fellowship, there's plenty of facilities. There's a wonderful sanctuary. We've got a great building. It don't leak. It's, you know, it's not tore down. It's not in shambles. And God's just blessed all that. It's just nice to enjoy the things that God's given. It is nice to enjoy those things. But let us not forget the spiritual reason why we're here. Because the spiritual reason is the most important reason. We've just been blessed with the benefits. And so we thank God for those blessings and we thank God for those benefits, but let's not put them ahead of what God wants to do spiritually and what He wants to do with each and every one of us. So I love you tonight. I'm glad God's still bottling up our tears, bottling up our prayers, writing these things down. I'm glad He's still pouring them out. I'm glad we're still seeing them answered. Just a reminder, God knows where we are all the time. And sometimes we do get in that point where we just think everything's going good, so why upset anything? But then the carnal man sits in and we get complacent. I don't want to be complacent in the house of God. We ought to be, and I'll say this, and it might sound weird and somebody might take it wrong. Let us be stingy when it comes to the blessings that God wants to give us. Can we say that, Brother Jim? Let's go into God's house and say, I want all that I can get. I want every one that you have. Just give it to me. If someone don't want theirs, give it to me. If so and so sitting back, Lord, let me step forward. I'll do it. Hey, listen, they looked in the one time we're going to ask Brother James to come. But when they were carrying the ark, you remember when they were carrying the ark? And it shook and David got afraid because they were trying to carry it on a new cart. And that one man, he said, hey, listen, they took the ark. And they said, we don't know where to take it. He said, I'll put it in my house. Yeah. And they put it down in his house, and his house was blessed for 3 months. And next thing you know, they took the ark into the temple, and they said, hey, we need porters. We need these porters to guard the temple or to watch over the temple. We need these men to do this job. That same man stepped forward. He said, I'll do it. Amen. He knew where his strength come from. They were looking around for volunteers. They were looking around who they was going to appoint. And that man, he wasn't waiting on volunteer. He was stepping forward and said, just pick me. I'm right here. I'll do it. That's how it ought to be when it comes to the house of God. When it comes in, the Spirit comes moving by. I'll go. Thank the Lord tonight. We love Him. Appreciate the church. Appreciate the Spirit of God. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I believe that was Obed-Edom, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was his name. Praying for our loved ones. You think about tears in a bottle. I hope and pray that when you think about that, you don't think that your prayers can fit in a vial. I hope God has gallon jugs for your prayers and my prayers. I say that so often that sometimes God has given us that weapon of prayer. We talk about the shield and the armor that God gives and in the prayers. The prayer that we can pray since we're saved by God's grace, and how we can talk to God and how we can pray to God, and we don't utilize that tool enough. But we need to start using that more and more, especially in the time that we're living in.